You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Michigan State University seems to have used private statements between a student and a counselor and press release to the public. David Jesse with the Free Press outlines the detail in a story published yesterday. Here's the timeline, though. Monday, a former student filed a lawsuit in federal court. That suit claims back in 2015, three Michigan State basketball players raped the student. It alleges the student was discouraged by university personnel from reporting the incident to police. On Wednesday, MSU officials issued a statement denying the allegations and then proceeded to reveal when the student visited the counseling center and included details about what counselors advised. Joining me now is Frank Lamonte. He's a professor and director of the Brechner Center for Freedom of Information at the University of Florida. He was quoted in that Free Press story. What's the problem with Michigan State University's statement?
The question is whether the Michigan State has engaged in a release of what is called educational records or the content of educational records. There's a federal privacy law known as FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, that requires educational institutions to maintain the confidentiality of what the feds describe as education records. So if those counseling records, if the information about the advice that she received from counselors qualifies as education records, and if those records are traceable back to an identifiable individual person, then Michigan State could be in violation of that federal privacy law.
Well, the university says it has the right to use the information to defend itself under the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, and it notes it did not use the student's name. So what's the concern?
Well, there is an exemption in the FERPA statute for the use of student education records when that is necessary to defend a university, but it specifically says in the statute that you are entitled to use those when you go to court. In other words, you can introduce those records as an exhibit or as evidence in a court proceeding, but this appears to be a disclosure not directly to the court, but to the news media, and that puts it into a grayer area. There's a lot of disagreement about the boundaries of what does and does not qualify as an education record, but interestingly, universities generally call this strike zone very narrowly in against disclosure and in favor of confidentiality when it suits their interest to do that. And so if a reporter had shown up and asked for these very same documents other than the Michigan Public Records Act, there is every chance in the world that the university would have said you cannot have those because of FERPA. So it's just interesting, and I would venture a tad hypocritical to see an institution calling a different strike zone when it suits their purposes for protection of their image.
How unusual is it to release this kind of information to the public?
It's quite unusual. In fact, there are universities around the country that are fighting to withhold very comparable information, including two of them, Western Kentucky and the University of Kentucky. They're in court right now actually suing journalists to try to stop the disclosure of very comparable sets of information, again, with identities removed. And in those cases, they are arguing that even with names removed, it is possible for some person in the community to perform some detective work and match those records up to an individual, and that makes them, in the views of those universities, FERPA records. So I think the prevailing sentiment would be if you asked a university legal counsel around the country, can you disclose records of this kind about a specific individual that details their counseling history? I think the prevailing interpretation from university counsels would be absolutely not.
Michigan State University is already being criticized by child sex abuser Larry Nassar's survivors for fostering a culture that is insensitive towards sexual assault victims. Now we've got this public release of private statements between a student and counselor. What does this tell you about the culture of leadership at Michigan State?
Well, going back over the history of the Nassar case, what you have seen time and time again is a culture of secrecy and concealment. That goes all the way up to the top at Michigan State, where they make a lot of their board decisions behind closed doors in secret meetings. And so it's sort of ironic that the one time that Michigan State decides to depart from that tradition of secrecy and concealment is when it suits their purposes to rebut the claims of a sexual assault victim.
So what kind of advice would you give to Michigan State University officials?
I would probably say that you need a top-to-bottom readjustment in your culture, and that includes getting some better advice about what does and does not qualify as confidential. Michigan State has lost in court several times when they have been challenged on their over-application of privacy law to withhold things like police reports that involve misconduct by student-athletes. And so they have applied privacy as sort of a sword and as a shield when it suits their purposes to do so. And I would say that whatever advice they are getting about their interpretation of privacy law is not serving them very well.
Frank Lamonti is professor and director of the Brechner Center for Freedom of Information at the University of Florida. He was quoted in a free press report by David Jesse. That article is titled, Michigan State's Rape Lawsuit Statement Likely Violated Privacy Laws. Thanks very much for explaining all this to us.
Thanks for the opportunity.